Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming. So as Ed said, my goal today is to give a quick overview and update on National Ecological Observatory Network, or NEON, as you may have heard it referred to. I'll forewarn you that giving an update on a talk of this, or a project of this size in 12 minutes is sort of difficult, and you may end up having more questions at the end of my talk than you had at the beginning, but that's fine, and hopefully many of those will be answered by my colleague Eve's talk next, which she is going to get into the nitty-gritty of our soil sampling design at NEON, provide those details. My goal is rather to give you a quick overview of what NEON is, if you're completely unfamiliar, and an update on our construction activities, sampling activities, and the rollout of our infrastructure and data. So if you're unfamiliar with NEON, it is funded by the National Science Foundation's Major Research Equipment and Facilities Funding to enable the understanding and forecasting of the impacts of climate change, land use change, and invasive species on continental scale ecology. NEON also is hoping to be a community resource by providing infrastructure to support scientific research and education across the United States. And NEON has a high investment in standardization. And when I say a high investment in standardization, what I mean is that NEON uses the same protocols and measures the same suite of samples at all of our sites and does the same analyses, the hope being that this will facilitate the comparisons of data from site to site and therefore addressing landscape scale questions. So like I said, NEON is a continental scale project and we have a continental scale design. And the way this was approached is by breaking the continental United States, including Alaska, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico into 20 eco-climatic domains. Within each one of those domains, we have a core site. And the core site is located in unmanaged wildland conditions. And so, for example, you can think of the core site in this Northern Rockies domain. It is located in Yellowstone National Park. Those core sites will be constructed and then we'll collect data for 30 years. After their construction. Also within each domain, we have two relocatable terrestrial sites, and these are located to be N members in land management or ecological gradients that are relative or relevant to that domain. So if you think about Alaska, you can think about our N members being Barrow and Southern Alaska, looking at continuity of permafrost or, say, fire dynamics in Alaska. We also, so that's a total of 60 terrestrial sites that NEON has. The relocatable sites, unlike the core sites, we'll collect data for 5 to 10 years, and then using a request for information from the scientific community, they may be moved to address another question within that domain, or they may perhaps stay in the same place. We also have 36 aquatic sites distributed across the continent, and those are in both streams and lakes, and we have 10 experimental aquatic sites that are called strion sites, and those look at the effects of nutrient additions and predator removal on aquatic ecosystems. So that's broadly the NEON design in a nutshell, and I'm going to give you a little bit more detail, obviously. So like I said, NEON is aiming to be a resource for the scientific community, so there are a lot of ways to interact with and use NEON. That's what it's aiming to do. One of those is to provide educational resources and programs to the general public and science students. Another, and one of the major ones, is providing open source, freely available data to the scientific community. So NEON is going to be collecting thousands of observations across the continent, generating hundreds of different data streams that will be all available via our data portal for the next 30 years to the general public. Along with the data itself will be all the algorithms, documents, metadata, et cetera, and protocols that went into collecting and generating that data. We also have infrastructure that has been being developed and will be developed that the community can request to conduct research. And I'm going to touch a little bit more on that as we move forward. And also simply collaborating with NEON by working at our field sites, collecting samples, putting additional sensors on NEON towers, et cetera. I'd like to say that it's really great over the last year or so we've started to see some of this come to fruition. I think Elham is going to speak about some work she's done with some NEON samples from the NEON Soils Archive, which I'll talk a little bit more about. Myself and Luke Knave and some others in this room are recently funded a macrosystems grant using soil samples that are a byproduct of the NEON construction process to do a continental scale assessment of the factors stabilizing soil carbon, potentially destabilizing soil carbon in the face of climate change. And then also I've been working recently with one of Ted Scher's postdocs to coordinate some sampling of permafrost thaw depth measurements across our sites in Alaska. So it's really great. It makes me feel good and sleep a little better to see some of it to actually be helpful. So this is good. I'm glad to see it. So like I said, NEON is going to be collecting thousands of different data observations and generating hundreds of data products. And broadly, these are distributed among four categories. And in the context of NEON, when I say observations, I mean a physical sample that we grab and then do an analysis on, whereas instruments, it's just instrument data streaming from the sensor. So we have aquatic instruments and observations. We have airborne data from remote sensing platforms. We have terrestrial instruments, and we have terrestrial observations. I don't have time to talk about all of these, so with respect to these two, I just want to say that we will be generating about 140 different data streams looking at chemical, physical, and biological processes and characteristics from all of our aquatic sites. And then also we will have planes conducting remote sensing of all of our sites on an annual basis, collecting LIDAR and hyperspectral data. So that, I don't have time to get into that, but if you want more information about that, you can ask us or visit our website. What I do want to talk a little bit about more is the terrestrial instruments and the terrestrial observations, as that is where the majority of our soils-related measurements fall. And just to keep it at a broad level for 1 second, when I talk about all these data products, we will be starting to roll these out. In June of 2015, 43 data products will be available from NEON sites distributed across those categories. And then by September of 2016, an additional 212 data products will be being collected and distributed. Then ultimately by 2017, another 123, bringing us to a total of about 400 data products. Obviously, I can't get into the details of all of these right now, but I do want to focus on these a little bit and tell you guys a little bit about what is going to be available in 2015. And like I said, discussing all of those individually is impossible, which is why I'm really excited to say that we finally finished revising our NEON data product catalog, and at the end of this month, that will be available on our website in a document form. And so all of those 378 data products will have descriptions, and you can read about how those are collected, what those data products are. And then in the following, in springtime, we will have finally a sortable and searchable data products catalog on our website. So you can go in and dive down into and see what kind of data is available by location or whatever your interest is. Looking at exactly how NEON is laid out, this is a generalized sampling scheme for the NEON terrestrial site. So at each one of those 60 NEON terrestrial sites, we have a tower, and on that tower we have a suite of instrumentation, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Within the footprint of that tower, this black line represents an instrumented soil array, and I think Eve will talk a little bit more about some of the instruments that are there and what kind of soils data we're collecting. And then around that tower, and within the footprint of that tower, we have a large number of sampling plots for our terrestrial observations. And these are the physical grab samples I'm talking about that feed into things like soils. So the terrestrial observation sampling is to provide standardized, diverse measurements related to a number of things, including biodiversity and invasive species, phenology, population dynamics, microbial diversity and function, biogeochemistry and productivity, ecohydrology, and infectious disease. And so it's these three categories right here that Eve is going to dive down into and tell us a bit about our soil biogeochemical sampling, the microbial populations. You'll hear a bit from Eve and talk following hers, and then ecohydrology measurements loosely related to soils such as soil moisture. So as far as these observational measurements go, in June 2015, we're going to have select data available from 13 of our 60 NEON sites. The select data that are available, unfortunately, aren't directly related to soils when it comes to the grab samples, but we will have data related to ground beetles, from pitfall traps, plant phenology observations, plant presence, absence, and prevent cover, small mammal box trapping, and herbaceous clip harvest. I am happy to say that at the same time these are becoming available, we have started our soil observation sampling, and we are sampling for carbon and nitrogen stocks, microbes, and isotopes across these sites. And this data is not yet available, but we are working to figure out the best way to ingest this into our cyber infrastructure and get it out right now. And Eve is going to give you the details of what exactly, how this works, and what exactly we are grabbing. As well as in June 2015, besides those physical grab samples, we're going to be streaming data from 21 of our terrestrial sites. So that's pretty great. We're starting to cover the map a bit. And the way our terrestrial sensor data works at NEON is it's being deployed in three phases. Those phases are based basically upon the difficulty of deploying that measurement and the algorithms required to generate that data. So the first phase is really simple things like air temperature on the tower, barometric pressure, and PAR on the tower. The second phase is measurements like biological temperature of the plant canopy, 2D wind profiles, and additional radiation measurements. The third phase is perhaps the most complex and also the most interesting data that NEON will be generating. These are things like our phenological automated phenology cameras, snow depth cameras, eddy covariance packages, and isotopic measurements, gas profile measurements, as well as all of our soils instrumentation. That includes soil heat flux, soil water content profiles, soil temperature profiles, soil CO2 profiles, and mini rhizotrons. in June 2015, at those 21 sites, we will have all of the phase one and phase two data available, and then we will have some of those sites, we will have soil heat flux, soil water content profiles, and soil temperature profiles available at that time, but not necessarily all of those. We have just moved forward with getting the okay to install mini rhizotrons after a long battle to do that, so that's pretty exciting. And that data will come out in the future as long as the soil CO2. And like I said, Eve will sort of describe these profiles in a little more detail. Neon, as I said, also has infrastructure that can be requested by the community to facilitate scientific research. I just want to touch quickly on some of these because I think they're great. One of the three airborne observation platforms, so that's a twin rotor aircraft equipped with hyperspectral data and LiDAR acquisitions, as well as a high-quality camera, will be available for request via granting process to NSF. So if you have a site that you would like flown and that data collected, that will be something that can be done in the future. Placing additional sensors on Neon towers to collect data along with ours is something that can happen. The mobile deployment platforms is a project which I have been heading up. I'm going to give you guys a little bit more depth on that, as well as a little bit more depth on the archive samples and specimens that can be requested, as some of those directly relate to soils. So the mobile deployment platform is something I've been heading up, and this is sort of, you can think of it as a mini requestable and mobile Neon package. Basically, the thought behind this is that there's a lot of ecological processes that occur in the landscape that aren't fixed in space, but yet they're very important. So how do we incorporate some sort of mobility into Neon to allow researchers to take instrumentation to that location where something like a fire or a flood or a disease outbreak is happening and collect data? So the way we've designed this is to basically have a 30 a telescoping mast. These are used by the military for radars to put those radar dishes on, and they can vary in height from 2 to 30 meters. And on that mast, we're going to have eddy covariance, a gas profile with measurements for methane, isotopes, et cetera, radiation, phenocams, and precipitation measurements. These will have independent power and communication, so they can be deployed basically anywhere where you can access it via a road. As well as, and I'm really excited about this, it took me a long time and a lot of battling to get this in, but I was able to get a soils module that plugs and plays into this tower, into the mobile deployment platforms. And what this soils module will be is soil respiration chambers, a wireless soil temperature and moisture array, as well as pyrite ground level and soil heat flux. With respect to this wireless soil temperature and moisture array, we haven't picked those sensors yet, and I am really curious for anyone who has ideas about what would be the best sensor package to use. So that'd be great. And then we're going to have a similar aquatics module, which I don't have time to get into today, but feel free to ask me questions. And like I said, those are going to be requestable eventually by the community. We're building the first prototype this winter and hoping to deploy it next spring to work out the kinks. We also have a soil archive that is up and running right now. And like I said, Elham is going to talk about some work she's done with the soil archive. At each one of our sites, we collect, we were originally collecting 1.2 kilograms of soil, drying it, sieving it, and storing it for people to basically write to us and ask for. But since we've gotten so many requests for samples, we've upped that to 3.6 kilograms per site. So if you want more information on how to get those samples, they're available now. You can visit the website or talk to myself, Ed, or Eve. And with respect to the Neon website, I'm really excited to say that this month we're going to be releasing the new Neon website, which is going to be really helpful because it has a lot more content on our science designs, our science strategy, the field sites, the layout of all of our instrumentation. So this is going to be really great. And then April, we're going to be releasing our new data portal, which we had all the Neon scientists as well as external scientists and external firms work with to come up with a new data portal that really makes finding data by site, by science theme, et cetera, really, really much more user-friendly. And so that will be out this spring as well. And so broadly, just looking at Neon timeline, right now we are in this 2012 to 2017 construction period, and sometimes it feels like we've been here for a really long time and we're always building, but it's why it's great to see that we're finally beginning to output some data and move. And when we finish this construction period, as we're currently phasing into operations, collecting data, getting things out on the website, in 2017, when that construction period ends, that's when that 30-year clock begins ticking and all these data products will be collected for the next 30 years. So like I said, obviously that's a lot to cover. I hope that I at least like hit some things that will interest you. So I encourage you to either corner myself, Eve, or Ed if you have more questions about Neon. We're happy to help, or email us if you can't capture us. We are always like glad to take comments and do whatever we can to work with you guys. So thanks.
Lindsay.
Okay.
Are you just making the data available and searchable, or are you going to do interactive visualization?
So the hope in like writing our, so we base everything on requirements because that's the way it works in the end. So we write like what we're going to try to do, and then we have to build to that. And so in some of the requirements for our data portal, there was discussions of being able to like quickly generate graphs within the data portal and visualize that. I don't know that our first release in 2015 it will have that capability yet, but those are in, yeah, beyond what is showing here, and this is sort of graphs of the availability of data. Is it available for this part of the time? But beyond that, it won't be right away, but eventually, yes, that is in our requirements.